My guest is Mary DeMichelle, and we talked to Mary, I believe it was back in November of last year at Great Stone Coffee. That's where we first met Mary and introduced her to the listeners when she was getting ready to do one of her improv jams over there at Great Stone. And she's got another one coming up in the month of January. It'll be January the 19th. Starts at 7 o'clock. That's a Saturday evening. And you can learn the process of improv, which, again, it's not just about comedy. It goes in a lot of different directions. And I was thinking about this the other day. Mary, great to have you back, by the way. Thank you very much.
It's great to be here.
Good to have the opportunity to talk a little bit more with you about this and find out a little bit more about improv, because I think we just kind of dabbled a little bit the first time we talked to you. And, you know, folks, every time I mention an event over at Great Stone, I get phone calls or emails about people wanting to come and attend these events, and I've gotten several emails since I mentioned this event on the 19th, so looks like, again, it's already very well received and folks are getting into it. But let's talk about the world of improv and maybe a little refresher course to kind of get the listeners familiar with what it is we're going to be doing on Saturday night at Great Stone or on the 19th.
Okay, so what we're doing is short-form comedy improv, not musical improv, but comedy improv, which are short 30-second to 3-minute long games, kind of in the style you would have seen on Whose Line Is It Anyway, if you watched that.
Sure.
And it's a performing art form that started in the late 50s, but as more and more people did it, especially when they got familiar with Whose Line when it came over to America in the mid-90s, they really started to see the applications of it in business and therapy and behavioral health and in every part of your life. So there's a lot of applicable uses for that same exact training you get when you play the games.
And I wonder how many people who are, let's say, introverts that aren't real outgoing, that this is a really good way for them to overcome that and be able to just talk to people on a regular basis. I would imagine at some point, you know, you have to have a conversation starter in order to get involved in whatever it is you're doing, if it's a conversation at work, if it's a conversation with friends and family, somebody who's a little bit more, you know, laid back and doesn't really dive in feet first, like, you know, say probably yourself, who's very outgoing when it comes to this sort of thing. Folks, what you didn't see there, she just kind of rolled her eyes a little bit when I said that. But was this something that was a good icebreaker for you? Is that how you got involved with it?
Absolutely. One of the big misnomers about people who do perform on stage is that they're all extroverts, and so many are not. So many are introverts, and they are shy. They just enjoy the craft of acting or the craft and desire to teach other people, but they themselves are not extremely outgoing. Now, even with improv, I mean, if you're seeing a professional level improv and you're going to run into some people who do it who are amazing, witty extroverts, they have no boundaries, they're phenomenal. Just as many are complete introverts, but they can do it. And I had a phenomenal compliment. I was at Great Stone for their event, the theater reading.
They did like, is that the old time radio show that they did?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was there, and had a wonderful compliment. Someone came up to me, and she said, "Hey, Mary, I just want to thank you so much. I came out. I was so interested, but I was terrified. I didn't really know what to expect, and you made me feel safe. It felt safe, and I really enjoy doing it." And then what's interesting about her was she was there the entire night. I never met her, but I noticed the table because no one got up until the last 15 minutes of the evening. And she's a stage performer. She's a wonderful actress. So It's just, don't assume that people who are on stage are great extroverts. And the thing about improv is so many people are hesitant because they don't know what it is. So even a lot of stage people don't have a background in it. And what I like to do is I like to make it accessible to everybody.
Typically, what do you do when you get a group of people together? You know, let's say you've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people, how many of your people you have. Do you work with them as a group and then turn them loose individually, kind of giving them some tools of the trade, like we've talked about before? When you do this, there's certain tools that you have to have in your toolbox as far as improv is concerned, and you kind of let everybody in on it as a group, and then do you go with the individuals to try to find out what they're capable of?
Well, individually, what we find is people can transfer these skills and concepts alone, on their own. They'll take it with them, and they'll discover the next day, in the next few days, the next weeks, they're like, "Oh, wait, I've never handled it like that before. That's amazing." But improv itself is completely collaborative, so they're never on the spot. They're never by themselves.
So if there's a group of people, yeah. One person maybe gets a little hung up, somebody can step in and help them out a little bit.
Absolutely. So improv is structured, and mm-hmm. it's structured with its foundational rule of yes and. And every single offer that is made is supported. Anything you say, you put out there, everyone's going to agree with and build off of it.
Okay.
And that really kind of creates the flow and the vibe and the safety and the collaborativeness that you see on stage.
And when you start out with a particular group, like, say, for example, we know of groups like, say, Second City, for example, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of improv that goes on there.
Yeah.
And they basically, you know, however they want to start it, and then everybody gets involved. Then that allows you, I would imagine, if everybody has basically the same kind of tools in their toolbox, if you want to call it that, that allows them to be able to work with anybody at any point, knowing the rule that you mm-hmm. put, yes and.
Yes.
And that's basically how you do it. And then so you could work with one group one week and another group another week, and everything's great if everybody's on the same page.
Yes.
And.
Now, yes, and. Now, that is exactly true. But what you also end up finding is people who end up working together, mm-hmm. they develop more of a flow because improv, as counterintuitive as this is rehearsed
right.
and practiced. And the more you rehearse and practice, the faster you get at it. So when you see these professional level troops, they know each other. They're almost intuitive on how they can respond and read each other on stage. So it goes both ways with yes and. If you do have that rule, you can. And usually with improv jams, they usually occur in cities where you have lots of improv troops, so improvisers get together and perform with people they wouldn't normally perform with. Here we don't have that. So the improv jam we had in November was phenomenal because we had all these people who were not all that familiar with improv.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them maybe did it a little bit, but there was no improv performers in the audience. And I presented a format, and it worked. And we had people with stage experience, no stage experience, up there doing improv together.
You
because
can do,
they followed yes and.
You can do it with as many as two, mm-hmm. or as many as, I guess, as you want, or as few as two.
Yes.
And that's basically how that rolls.
Yeah, and a lot of the game structures will start with two, and to show different applications for it, mm-hmm. we'll increase the group as it goes. And what becomes really impressive when I do trainings at businesses or in schools is you start out with two people, and within a minute, you got 20 people collaborating together because you have that structured framework.
So everybody just thinks it's off the cuff, and it's really not. There's a great deal of structure that goes into it.
No, and that's one of the greatest insults you can give to an improviser.
Right.
You know, we were talking off the air a little bit. You said, you know, you improvise, and you do. So we make improvisation synonymous with, oh, it's off the cuff, it's off the top of your head, oh, you fly by the seat of your pants.
Right.
But you're not. Mm-hmm. When you truly improvise, whether I'm talking about the art form or you talk about it being on the radio, you're performing at the top of your intelligence. And that means you're adapting, you're reacting, you're making fast decisions, all based on your skills, your experience, your knowledge, and you're able to do that in a split second. And what short-form comedy improv provides is a means to develop those skills to be able to improvise at the top of your intelligence in life, as well as other things.
Now, when you say short-form, is that based on the amount of time?
Yes.
In terms of, like, let's do something that's just a few minutes long, mm-hmm. or no longer? What would be the max when it comes to time with short-form improv?
30-second to 3-minute long games.
Yeah.
And I like short-form because, so there's all kinds of skills and benefits you gain from doing improv,
right.
from you know, communication, interpersonal resiliency, empathy, mindfulness, decreasing anxiety, etc. Okay, and every time you play a game, every time you make an offer in that game, meaning every time I come up with an idea, then you build off my idea, and mm-hmm. we go back and forth, and then we do it again for another 30-second game. We're building all of those skills simultaneously, versus if we did long form, that would be like a 45-minute game structure.
Wow.
You know, or maybe an hour and a half, where you're telling like this whole, it's improv.
Have you ever been involved in anything like that where it goes 45 minutes to an hour?
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. Yeah.
I would say 30 seconds to 3 minutes is probably good for you. You know, it's like anything else. The longer you do it, the more you build up to doing more and more mm-hmm. and more. It's just getting used to it. And I guess, you have to kind of feel comfortable around the people you're working with, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what's cool about feeling comfortable is with yes and, that happens so quickly.
Yeah.
Because anything I say, you validate. And suddenly, I feel validated. I feel like my idea was worthwhile. I start to trust in myself that I'm going to speak and it's going to go somewhere. And I trust you that you're going to support me. So it builds collaboration and a sense of safety and a sense of belonging so quick among groups of people that may have never worked together, may have never trusted each other. It's neat.
I would always kind of think to myself personally, the way I would look at something like this is, and you don't always have to worry about being funny.
Never.
You could try to add to something and think that, you know, but it's not every time I speak, every time the words come out of my mouth, that they have to be funny, because if I'm working with a group of people, it's just like I get my segment and then it moves on to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, and it comes back around, so I'll have another shot at it.
Right.
But I don't necessarily have to be, you know, saying gut-busting things to the people as soon as I open my mouth. It's probably better to kind of work up to it and learn the process before you try to be overly funny.
Well, you never actually try to be funny, because the moment you try to be funny, you end up negating someone else. Because if you're trying to be funny, you're not building off someone else's idea.
Very good.
So if you watch improv, the comedy is coming from the unexpectedness of where the ideas end up going.
Sure. And I think we've seen a lot of those where you go in and maybe you pay to see a comedian, and the comedian walks out. And some of the comedians that I've listened to over the years, they kind of get into, I would almost call it a rut with some of the material that they do, because they continuously do it over and over and over and really don't try to change it or improve on it. But then I've seen those folks where they walk out, one night they do one show, the next night they do something completely and totally different, and it's based on what you said. I mean, it's based on, number one, the structure, and it's based on the fact that they feel comfortable, and they can think in a split second.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're telling a story, sometimes the story is funny without having to be funny.
Exactly.
We need to take a quick break. 10:45 is our time. Mary DeMichelle is our guest, and again, she's going to be at Greatstone Coffee on Saturday, January the 19th at 7 o'clock for the Improv Jam. Should be a lot of fun. And for you folks out there that have always wanted, you know, what a great way to be able to just get out and meet new people and try some new experiences and enjoy those experiences with a little structure. It's the Morning Magazine on KRMS. 50 is our time. Our guest is Mary DeMichelle. We're talking a little improv, and I had asked her off the air. I said, can we try to do a little something? So essentially what she's done is she's got some locations. We got a list of locations, and she showed me the list of locations that was provided by someone in the building, but we won't name names, right? So we're going to take one of those locations and try and do a little improv here this morning, remembering yes and.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to tell them the location, or do we want to just kind of go and maybe see if they can figure it out along the way?
Oh, no, we'll tell them. So because one of the things that makes improv even more of a collaborative tool is the audience is always involved. They're not passive observers sitting there judging whether or not you're funny enough. They're part of every game.
All right.
So all improv games begin with an audience suggestion or an audience offer. So, yes, an unnamed person in here offered some suggestions that KB was just presented with.
and tell them what we picked, Mary.
So this is a game called Yes And Shared Memory. It is an absolute beginning game which gets us used to listening to each other, agreeing, and then adding. Okay, not denying, not commenting, yes anding. So it's yes and shared memory, and our memory takes place in the principal's office. So how we do it is I'll start and I'll tell you, so say, hey, remember that time in the principal's office? And then you'd say yes and add something, and then it goes back.
Yes and, it was a little painful. It was a little painful. The very first experience I had was very painful.
Okay, so one rule, it's we. So whatever it is, it's our memory,
right,
not yours and not mine.
Right.
So
so my memory was a little painful. How about yours?
No, we're going to be we the whole time, so
okay,
it doesn't become individual. So,
right,
hey, remember that time in the principal's office?
Yeah, we were talking about that, and I made mention to the fact that my experience was a little sore, but how about yours? What was your experience like? Or am I still way off the base here?
It's just we're sharing the same memory. Here, you start.
Okay.
Say, remember that time in the principal's office?
Remember that time we were in the principal's office?
Yes, and we were convinced we were getting suspended for spray painting his car?
Yes, and we ended up having to spend a little extra time after school for several days. Remember that?
Yes, and remember when we tried to slip out and go home?
Yes, and we got caught by the janitor who told the principal, and we ended up getting a little bit more time. Remember that?
Yes, but remember, we pressed up through the ceiling tiles and got onto the I-beams in the school to escape that time also?
Yes, and we ended up, well, because I'm a little bigger than you are, I remember when I fell through the ceiling tile and I landed in the best possible place I could possibly land. It was in the kitchen. Remember that?
Yes, in the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and they were all over my face, and you kept trying to wipe them off with the spoon. Remember that?
Oh, right, the spoon. And then I thought it was water because my eyes were covered, but it was the hot sauce.
Well, now I think I've hit that wall. I think I finally hit that wall. But that was interesting how you did that, how you continue to make it grow. And we moved from spray painting the principal's car to getting busted for it, to getting busted by the janitor for trying to duck out, going up through the ceiling tiles, falling through the ceiling tiles, ending up in the kitchen, landing in the mashed potatoes, and we finished up with hot sauce there. Yeah. I need a little work.
Well, improv is practice. You know, it is rehearsed, it is practice, and you build those neural pathways so you get faster and faster at doing it. But you can see just from that it forces you to listen to every last word before you go on. You can't go in your own direction. I didn't know we were going to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know I was going to say mashed potatoes. So you end up building that trust between each other and yourself. And you can see that these are the exact skills that people create movies out of and scripts. And
well, we had a number of locations, Mary, if you'd like to run through those.
Oh, in a storm drain,
mm-hmm.
in the kitchen,
right.
in an outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
In a jail. Okay, so when we are at the improv jam, that's what we get from the audience.
Right.
You know, different suggestions. And we go from there.
That's very interesting.
It's very unscripted.
And very unscripted, but fun because it just, you know, and I think that's another thing, too. It allows you to really kind of use your brain a little bit more so than, you know, and I would imagine maybe people who find themselves in like a dead-end job where they go in and they do the same thing day in, day out. This would be great. To just be able to kind of step outside that realm, and certainly to step outside your comfort zone to some degree. But one of the other things I wanted to make sure that we mention with the improv jam that's going on the 19th at Great Stone Coffee, that's the fact that this is a family-friendly event.
Yeah, it's absolutely family-friendly. We keep everything G-rated. Mm-hmm. And last time we had a family with their teenage son and middle school-aged daughter, and like what a great way as a parent to have something to do with your older child.
Mm-hmm.
And you might play together in a game, or they might play with other people, you might play with other people, but because the audience is part of every game, you're doing stuff with them. So that's
right.
Cool. And do I have 60 seconds?
Absolutely.
Now, for all the people that just out there groaned that it's G-rated and it's not going to be fun, just think about this with me for a second. Three reasons. One, potty humor gets a giggle the first two or three times, and it gets old so fast, so quick as an audience member, right?
My wife would tell you that.
Yes. Two, as a performer, if you're up on stage, the last thing you want to get is potty humor offers every single time, and then that's all you're doing on mm-hmm. stage. That's even worse. And the third thing is, we're all performing with people we don't really know that well,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know what anyone else is comfortable with.
Exactly.
So we keep it G-rated. It's a great time, and come and check it out.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is there any need for registration, or is it just show up?
Oh, just show up. Okay. There's no charge. Just show up.
Right.
You're not going to be put on the spot. No one's going to force you on stage. I put pieces of paper out where if you want to come and play,
mm-hmm.
I'll call you up based on that. And you can tell me what your experience level is. And when I call people up and group them together, you'll be grouped with playing games that you already have the skills to play.
Okay.
So
you're not going to be out. Well, to begin with, you're not going to be out of your comfort zone. It's as easy as you want to make it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, improv, you have to trust, and it's uncomfortable enough a little bit, and my entire approach is to make it doesn't need, some people think improv is about being out of your comfort zone, about
right.
being vulnerable, and it's not, and I don't That's not what I try to do. I try to make it that you're as successful as possible the first time out.
Well, it's great to have you back again to talk more about it. And certainly, it's going to be a fun evening on the 19th. It's a Saturday night, January the 19th. It starts at 7 o'clock at Great Stone Coffee, Highway 54 to the KK exit. They're just past Three Seasons Road. If you're headed toward, let's say, Tantera, they're on the left-hand side of the road, same side as Tantera there. But always a good time, always a lot of fun, and a great opportunity for you to learn a new skill, meet some new people, and have a great time. And it's G-rated. It's family fun for the entire family. So bring everybody out. 10:57. We're going to take a quick break. It should take us up to the top of the hour. Rush Limbaugh program follows this one. Have yourself a marvelous day. It's been a pleasure, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.